Hi, I'm Zach Hunter, Sports Information Director for the BYU Men's Track and Field Team. I've had the privilege of working with many of the 9 current and former BYU Cougars headed to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. These former BYU athletes headed to the Olympics have unique qualities and values that they have learned in their time in the BYU athletic system that can apply to anyone and help in everybody's own journey through life. Today we sit down with Rory Linkletter. This is Cougar Gold.
My performance is a direct opportunity to advance things for my family. Making this Olympic team was not just for me and my lifelong goal, but it was because of what it could mean for my family going forward.
Today we talk with Rory Linkletter, a professional marathoner who is set to compete for Team Canada in this year's Olympic marathon later this summer. Rory grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, before coming down to Utah, and then later competed for BYU on the BYU cross country and track and field team. In his career, he was a runner-up at the 10,000 meters at the NCAA Outdoor Championships his sophomore season. After graduation, Rory signed a professional contract and currently races for Puma. This past February, he competed at the Seville Marathon in Spain, where he crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 1 second, breaking the elusive Olympic standard to qualify for a spot for the Olympics. This performance also made him the second fastest Canadian marathoner ever. Now let's hop into my conversation with the man himself, Rory Linkletter. Rory, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Awesome, Rory. Well, I just want to hop into the basics of how did you get into running and like what was like your early running journey like?
Yeah. So like many people, I didn't grow up thinking I was going to be a runner. I don't know too many professional runners, Olympic runners, where that was their first love or their first sport, but it is my true love. And it is something I have grown to love over the years, even more and more. But I grew up playing every stick and ball sport you could imagine, from hockey to basketball to baseball to football. And by the time I got to high school, I wanted to continue to pursue athletics at the high school level. And I was a very undersized freshman in high school. So at Harriman High School, I had a friend that was going to do cross country, and I had never even heard of cross country. And I was like, I'll just do that so I can be a part of a high school team, because, you know, as a freshman, you just want to be involved in the happenings. So I showed up to day one of practice, and I'd never even gone for a run longer than the gym phys ed tests that we used to do back in the day, and kind of had a very slow transition into learning how to be a runner. I wasn't exactly like immediately a talent or a knack. Like, I didn't have this insane endurance from the start, but I had a great work ethic and someone that was very competitive. And over time, that freshman year, I went from being, you know, middle of the pack to some of the top JV, top freshman type level athletes, and progressed through that first year up to a varsity level type of athlete. And then as a sophomore, I kind of grew up a little bit, like physically, and matured and started to have some success where I was like, oh, maybe I could run in college now. And then kind of fell deeply in love with the sport and signed with BYU my senior year after, you know, a pretty successful high school career, but nothing crazy. As you mentioned in the intro, I was a walk-on at BYU. And so, you know, I was a preferred walk-on, so I knew I was going to get a spot. Coach Eiston was able to promise me that at least. But I went to BYU because I knew I could be great at BYU because people had done it before me. So, yeah, that was kind of how I got into the sport of running.
That's a very unique kind of journey where you're not like an immediate standout. And it was kind of like later on in high school, you're kind of climbing through the ranks. But yeah, take me through, like, why did you decide BYU? I'm sure you had other options out there or other coaches kind of looking at you at that time. Why BYU?
Yeah. So when I started the recruiting process, I wanted to get out of Utah more than anything else. That's my honest, that was what I was thinking. So I started looking out for all the options I could out of the state. And I basically quickly ran into the consistent issue of funding. I wasn't quite good enough to garner a full ride scholarship to an out-of-state school. And there was no way I was going to be able to afford to take a walk-on spot at, say, the University of Oregon or Colorado and pay $50,000 a year to go to school. So BYU, if you haven't heard, is a pretty affordable, great institution. So I kind of, after being hassled by my fellow recruiting class mates that were going to sign with BYU about just taking a visit and just checking it out, it was so funny. At first, I was like, no way I'll go to BYU. No way I'll stay in Utah. I step on campus and I probably committed to Coach Istone within an hour of being there. It just felt right. I just felt like, wow, this blew me away. It was my fourth official visit that I had taken. And I remember just having this feeling within minutes of being there that I was like, this is different. This is what I was looking for. And I didn't know it until I was on campus.
Wow. It does seem like that is the case for a lot of BYU athletes. And in my role as the director of communications, I've talked to a lot of the current guys right now, and there's a similar kind of story where they come here. It's in their realm that they're like, yeah, I could see myself as a Cougar. I could see myself running for BYU. But then when they get here, that's kind of when they feel something and recognize like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. I think that comes from like growing up in Utah. You know, I competed in high school in the state of Utah. Everybody goes to BYU, and I don't know about those other athletes, but I like to try to be different. I like to try to stand out. I like to do things my own way. And I almost felt like going to BYU was the easy path or the obvious one or whatnot. And I wanted to be different. And then when I got on my official visit, I was just like blown away by the team, Coach Istone, the facilities, and the world-class institution that is BYU.
Yeah. And what was that transition like, where you're running in high school? It's lower mileage, I presume, but then you get to BYU, you're a walk-on at that time, and there's faster guys around. What was that transition like physically?
It was honestly very challenging, but also I saw the opportunity to be good at BYU pretty quickly. I didn't make the travel squad. I redshirted my whole freshman year, but I was right on the cusp. And as a freshman, and as like kind of someone who didn't really like feel like a star, like I kind of felt like I was trying to prove myself still at that point, I could kind of see the path. You know, I had no guarantees, but I could see the path towards, hey, I could make this top seven on cross country and compete for the team next year. I could definitely, you know, compete well on the track. But it took that whole first year of like getting used to the training and the workouts and basically like ingratiating myself into Coach Istone's system before things started to click. And it really took me about 18 months, because that second year on campus, first semester, was also not perfect. I did travel, but I struggled. It wasn't until that fourth semester, my redshirt freshman year, that I kind of blossomed into what I ended up being and my time at BYU.
What do you feel kind of made that transition after that amount of time? Was it just being in the system longer?
That's probably a big part of it, is just like having more time under Coach Istone's training. But I also think things started to click for me that cross country season, my third semester, my redshirt freshman year. But I kind of started the season off in a rut. I came into the summer kind of a little bit banged up, and I was kind of heading on this upward trajectory and didn't get to realize my potential that fall. And so then I was even more motivated. I'm the kind of person that loves to set lofty goals and shoot for the stars. And I remember right after cross country season, feeling a little bit jaded that I didn't make the conference team or the regional team or the national team, because I did travel, but I didn't get taken to the postseason events. Even though I started to feel like my training and my workouts started to reflect that I belonged there. I respect the decision that Coach Istone made to not travel me to those meets, because I hadn't had a great race yet and I hadn't proven myself in a race. But I felt like I was ready and I just needed to prove it. So that indoor season was kind of my coming out party as a Cougar, where I made the travel squad right off the bat, and I ran my first race in BYU uniform for track was at Texas A&M, and I won my race. And it was kind of like this, oh, I could be pretty good at this. This was a pretty decent, you know, not a huge meet, but not a small meet either. And I beat a lot of people, and it was my first time competing for the Y in track. So that kind of springboarded that confidence that I had in myself and kind of created like this momentum that I carried throughout that rest of indoor and outdoor season.
Wow. That's amazing. I do think that's amazing, Rory, where you're put in a spot where it could be, oh, I'm out. Like I'm not going to these post-conference or the championship meets, but you dug deep and you said, this is what I want to do. And I think a lot of people kind of maybe have similar instances, maybe not in running, but when they're put in a spot where, oh man, is this where I dive deeper or I pull back? And for you, you saw value on that other side, which I think sets you apart. I did want to hop into this fun part I saw where, if you Google Rory Linkletter, which you do, you'll find Rory Linkletter Jeans World Record Mile.
Yeah.
And I read that and I was like, okay, we're talking about this. So you held or currently hold the world record in the blue jeans mile. How did that come to be? It was your time at BYU. Who started that?
Yeah, so I former record holder. I no longer hold it. It is actually quite a fun and funny story just because I don't know if you've heard of the track and field media outlet Sidious Mag, but they kind of started the movement for the Blue Jeans Mile kind of like as a joke, but then like a few elite runners started doing it like, and they would just basically like, if you did it, you know, they were the recognizers of the world record, right? Like you would basically tell them what you did, have official timing, you know, have a video evidence kind of thing. And they were kind of the gatekeepers of that world. And I remember it was after one of my better seasons. I can't remember which summer it was. It might've been summer 2017 or 2018. I want to say it was 2017. I had a good outdoor season. I was getting fit for the cross country season. And I just kind of decided like, oh, I think I could beat this just like on a whim, you know, just go out there and just try it. And I asked Doc, Ian Hunter, the professor of biomechanics at BYU, if he would make it official timing, like, cause he's the guy that runs a lot of these meets at BYU. So I was like, get official timing. I'll get a video thing set up. We'll go live with it. It'll be kind of like my first ever publicity stunt. And I did it and I ran, I think 4:17 or 4:16. I don't recall exactly. It was one of those two. And it was like a 2 or 3 second world record. But it was in not 100% denim blue jeans, right? Like no cotton blend. It had to be like as like tough fabric possible. And yeah, that was really, really fun and quite more just like goofing off, kids being kids, you know, just seeing if I could do it.
Well, and the reading up on the rules of what they made you do. Yeah. It had to be 100%. It sounded like from what I was researching that you didn't have a pair of jeans. And so you had to go ask your teammates around. And then like Clayton Young comes in with like a backpack full of jeans.
Yes.
Like it was a team event.
Yeah. And I got some pacers that, and I made them wear the blue jeans to pace me just like out of the spirit of the race. Yeah. It was a really fun, I have some photos from it. It was really funny. I can't remember who took those photos, but there was somebody came out and took like professional photos at the time. And it was fun. I mean, it's just like, you know, as much of college fun as you can have, you know?
Yeah. And I guess speaking to that point too, Rory, what was the vibe of the team like when you were there? What was kind of the culture and what kind of stood out to you from that?
Yeah. So I think BYU, when I went there, was notorious. And I do use that word intentionally. It was notorious for having a very, very competitive cutthroat culture. When I signed with BYU, I had people telling me that I literally had my high school track coach call me a dead man walking because he thought that I was just going to get chewed up and spit out in the BYU system because a lot of talented people sign with BYU. And because of the competitive nature of the team, some people never really have a college career to speak of because it's hard. Like so many people want to be at BYU. So many talented runners go there just to make it there is like, it's hard to break through. So, I was it was a competitive culture more than anything, which I think fit my personality quite well. I consider myself a competitor first and foremost. But it was also very positive. I don't remember ever feeling like people weren't encouraging of others and weren't uplifting one another and encouraging the idea of like you reaching your own potential. We took it very seriously. We wanted to be great. And I think, you know, through my time, there was different leadership styles and different people that led the team. At times that was me, at times it was others. And I feel like we all just held each other to the highest standards of excellence as people, as students, and as athletes. And I think that's why throughout my time there, we were always nationally relevant and had a lot of success. And then since I've left, it hasn't really dropped off. And I think in Coach Istone's entire tenure, it's been mostly that. And I think, you know, he's partially to credit for that, but I think it's just the types of people that end up at BYU just, you know, and the competitive nature that it's just so hard to make it there, that if you don't work hard, like there can't be a culture of anything but hard work because you've got next man up mentality and so many guys fighting for those spots.
And that's really what it's like, is there's so many highly talented athletes and they're working together, but there's so many that it's hard to get in. And speaking of the program, the state of the program now, Rory, we found out, so we did the math yesterday and we found out, so BYU has had the most qualified entries to the U.S. Olympic track and field trials that of any university or college in the nation. We've sent 17 entries, so 10 entries on the men's side, 7 on the women's side, just from collegiate. And it just kind of goes to show, to your point, that the BYU program produces athletes at an elite level, and there's a lot.
Yep. We always had depth. I always felt like we were one of the deepest teams in the country, and I think that's still true.
And it definitely is. And so to take this to the next part in our conversation, what was that transition like? Okay, after you graduate, did you sign a contract immediately to go run professionally? Or what was that kind of, maybe there was an in-between time? What was it like after graduation?
Yeah, so I did go pro pretty quickly. I think it was a matter of a month or so post NCAAs that I was kind of dialed into my next situation, which is what brought me out to Flagstaff, Arizona, where I live today. I originally joined a group called Northern Arizona Elite, sponsored by Hoka. I spent 2.5 years with them. And then I left them basically at the end of the last Olympic year, so 2021, because of the COVID delay of the Olympics, and decided I wanted to do things a little bit differently for this next Olympic cycle. And I joined forces with Ryan Hall and signed with Puma a couple months later. And since then, that's been my current setup, is I have a small group of people I train with here in Flagstaff. I'm sponsored by Puma, and I've kind of been doing the same, relatively same routine in the same place with similar people around me for almost 5 years now. So the same, 5 years. So it's been the same amount of time here as I spent in Provo. So now this is like the next chapter. It's been here for a long time.
And for those that didn't catch that just barely, so Rory's coached by Ryan Hall, who's he's a marathon legend just a legend in the distance running community. Maybe speak to what's Ryan's influence like in your life right now.
Yeah, so just to give credit where it's due, he's a 2-time Olympian, American record holder. He has the fastest time ever run by an American in the marathon. It isn't an official American record because it was at Boston, and Boston's not a record eligible course because it's point to point, net downhill. But he's run 2:04:58, which even pre-Super Shoe era, if you follow the sport of running, there's been a boom in technology that's helped people run faster over the last 5-6 years, especially. And Ryan was running faster than anyone's ever run in American history well before this technology came out. So he was a superstar. And when I asked him to coach me, it was mostly because I was inspired by his individual performance as a person and also his principles as a Christian. I thought that it would be really cool to have someone who I believe to live out the standards I believe in, that I learned at BYU, that were a part of my my upbringing in Utah and in my family, and also someone that literally had been to the very tippy top of the mountain in our sport. You know, one of the best, if not arguably one of the best marathoners in American distance running history. He just checked a lot of boxes for me. And now, after working with him for 2.5 years, he's become a great friend. He's helped me reach heights that I didn't think I was going to reach in this short of a span. I immediately got better under his tutelage, and he's really changed my life in so many ways. And it's been an honor to work with him for this time.
And I think that's amazing to find someone to coach you that has those same personal values too. I think a lot of people out there could go find a coach who's just really good at running, but you wanted someone who reflected those kind of values that you have. And kind of maybe speak to those values where you have, so you have two kids, right?
Yep.
And you're married to your wife, Jill, that you met here at BYU.
Yep.
How has family played a role in your life and being a professional athlete? How do you balance all that?
Well, it's hard. I don't think being a professional athlete is something where balance can sometimes be thrown out the window. You know, I don't think what we do allows us to truly be balanced. I attempt to be balanced in as many ways as I possibly can. I try to be a very present and active role father in the home and leader of the home and provide for my family. And they're a huge motivation to me every time I step to the line, because my performance is a direct opportunity to advance things for my family. And making this Olympic team was not just for me and my lifelong goal, but it was because of what it could mean for my family going forward. It's obviously making this great of an honor can set me up for years to come. And that was a huge motivating factor. So being a parent, I've gotten substantially better at running in the time I've become a parent, even though my life feels way more chaotic and way less conducive to running fast. There's something special and magical about that motivation that you feel when you're doing something for more than yourself. And when you know that every decision you make and every accomplishment that you have can impact the people you care about the absolute most, which is my wife and kids. So yeah, it's being a parent is a very challenging component when you're a professional athlete, but it's amazing how much it's improved my performance over the last 3 years.
And having those values, that it just shows that you're strong in multiple areas of your life. Now, I do want to take us through the highlight, right, of what you've probably been riding high on this race that you had for months. Talk me through the Seville Marathon. Am I pronouncing it right? Is it the Seville Marathon in Spain?
Yes, it's Sevilla, if you were saying it as the locals say, but it's Seville in English. That was an amazing experience. I actually did bring my family to Spain. And that was an amazing, amazingly fun, stressful, motivating experience. I went to Spain last summer for a holding camp before the Budapest World Championships last summer. So Team Canada had a camp in Barcelona. I went there for, I don't know, 8 or 9 days before I went to Budapest. And I was blown away by the country of Spain. I was like, this is an amazing place. I want to bring my family here. And I loved traveling there so much that I was like, oh, and they also happen to have the two fastest marathons in the world, the Valencia Marathon and the Seville Marathon. And so when I was looking for an opportunity to qualify for the Olympic Games, it was almost a no-brainer to me to try to find, make Valencia or Seville work. And Seville worked a little bit better for timing because Valencia would have been a quicker turnaround from Budapest. So I had more runway to get ready for Seville. And when I picked Seville, I was like, I want to bring my family because A, I loved Spain, and B, I want them there for that moment in my life. Because I was like, this is the biggest moment of my life and they're the biggest part of my life. So I want them there. But admittedly, I was very scared to travel across the world with two kids so young and risk the distractions or the amount of stress that could cause leading into a race. So we did a trial run. I ran a road race in Connecticut over Thanksgiving, the Manchester Road Race, and I brought my whole family out for it, literally to see if I could do it, to see what that was like, to practice. What is it like to have your family on the flight over, you know, and go through all of the process of like what that looks like for me with two kids. And it went well. I raced really well. And I was like, okay, we're doing it. Let's book the flights. Let's go to Spain. And I remember feeling extremely concerned when we arrived, and my 2-year-old at the time son didn't sleep on the flight over and was brutally like cranky and ornery when we arrived in Seville. And I actually said it to my wife. I said, I've made a huge mistake. But everybody rallied. We had a great second day in Spain. Day one was a bit of a head scratcher, but we arrived early enough that I had time to adapt. We had time to adapt. It was a lovely vacation. And I was so, so happy when I crossed the finish line and my family was there to celebrate that big of a moment in my life that they were such a big part of. So it was amazing to do it that way. Yeah, I ran 208.01 with perfectly even splits, 9 seconds to spare for the Olympic standard. And at the time, it was like, this, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the most beautiful moment of my life. And, you know, it probably will always be one of those moments in my life where it's like the combination of what it meant to make the Olympic team, to run my best race in front of my family and with their support there, and what it means for my future as a professional athlete. Amazing. But I'm now full on, you know, focused on Paris and the next big thing, and hoping to, you know, just take that momentum into these next few years and build off of it.
And what an amazing experience, just not just for you, but like your support crew with your family as well. And that crew expands as well, because we know that Connor Mance and Clayton Young, your former teammates when you ran here, they'll be representing the United States in the same marathon. They qualified, was it 2 weeks prior to when you ran that time? They qualified at the Olympic trials that the United States has. What does it mean to have your former teammates and you all running on the world's biggest stage?
Well, it's really cool. It's really unique. You were talking about how many people qualified for the U.S. Olympic trials that were BYU athletes. I think it's exceedingly rare to have this many people that were all teammates at the same time run in one event at the Olympic Games. It's awesome. When they qualified 2 weeks before my race, like you said, I was watching it at my house. You know, I got up early so I could run before their race, watched their race. And I remember having these mixed emotions of excitement for them, but also a little bit of panic for me, because I was like, I cannot miss this Olympics now. Like it almost made it like feel like I had to make the Olympic team because they did. Because I was like, I know I can do it because those were my teammates. Those are the people I worked with for so long, and I'm competitive with those guys. So I was like, I have to figure out a way to make this Olympic team. And I remember having a pretty stressful like next week, like where I was just still coming down from that feeling, that fire that was in me. But by the time I got to Spain, you know, a week before my race, I kind of felt this ease, this confidence, and just this excitement about the opportunity that was the Seville Marathon.
So what's your mindset when you're approaching the Paris Marathon? They call it the marathon build, right? So you're in the middle of that build up to the marathon. What's that like? I know that you were down here in Utah a couple of weeks ago, running with Connor and Clayton. What has that build been like so far? And what do you hope it does to get you to that start line?
Yeah. So I feel like I know how to prepare for a marathon at this point. This will be my 9th marathon, I believe, which is quite a few at my age. Like I'm pretty a veteran at this point. I feel very experienced. I've had a couple go really well in my last 4 marathons. I'd say 3 went great, 1 went okay. So it's like I'm starting to feel more and more confident. When you first start running marathons, there's almost this uncertainty with the distance, and you kind of have to like get over the distance. And I feel now a great respect for the distance, but also a great understanding for it and what it takes to be ready. And Paris will present new and exciting challenges that keep you on your toes, with the course being so hard and the competition being the best in the world. But I feel like my experience at the last 2 world championships has prepared me well. And I feel like my strengths as a runner are definitely on those hills. I'm excited. The build is going well. I'm healthy, which is the number one thing that an athlete can ask for at this point. You have to be healthy to train. So if you're not healthy, you have very little chance to be on the start line ready to go. So healthy, I'm feeling fitter by the week. And I love that feeling when you can kind of feel like, you call it a build. I like to look at it as like, yeah, this, where you're kind of constantly increasing your fitness as the race gets closer and closer. And I, my best races have always been when I'm wondering if I have enough time, not if I, you know, like where you're like 3 weeks, 4 weeks out and you're like almost like cramming for an exam, right? You're like, I really got to get fitter. I need more time. You know, I wish I had another hour to study or another week to train in this case. But I actually think that that's the perfect place to be because you still have this freshness, this excitement, this urgency, and this approach that just makes you really, really focused all the way up until the race.
That's good to hear that it's been a good steady climb to get to this point. And I feel like that's been your whole running career. It's building up to this, but it's not going to end the day after the Olympics, I know. And I'm excited to see the rest of your career, Rory. As we kind of wrap up, I did want to ask you, what are some kind of overall, just maybe life lessons that you've learned through the sport of running that has kind of just helped you as a family man, personally? What are some of those values that you've learned throughout your life?
Well, number one, and this is something that doesn't come naturally to me, is that the first word that came to my head was patience. So running is a very patient endeavor. Progress can sometimes start to feel slow. When you first start, you get better quickly because it's new to you. But when you've been doing it as long as I have at this point, which is coming up on 15 years of running, I find progress to be very slow at times. And there's often, you know, peaks and valleys and times where you're like, I haven't made progress in a while. Then there's times where all of a sudden things click. But it teaches you that reward comes over time, that if you just keep showing up, keep doing the right things, believing in yourself, believing in something more than yourself, and having a good crew around you and a great support system, that eventually, you know, things will start to pay off. And I found, you know, especially the last two and a half years, that it feels like things are building on themselves quickly. And that patience that I showed and that belief I had in myself a long time ago is starting to come together. And it's magical. It's very rewarding. And I think that's the number one thing. And then the other thing, and it's obvious with any endeavor of athletics, is just like hard work. It's just, you know, it teaches you to work hard and to dream big. And I think that I'm a dreamer. I'm someone who always wants more and always believes in the ability to achieve more. And running has taught me to shoot for the stars. And in other areas of life, I do the same thing. You know, what I want for my family going forward is very much big picture stuff, dreaming big, not putting a ceiling on what we can accomplish together. And running taught me that, you know, because there was no reason for me to have the confidence and the belief and the dreams that I had when I was a younger athlete that I'm realizing here today. But I did. And running taught me that. Running taught me to just work hard and believe that good things can happen.
And that's just a glimpse into your mindset, Rory, of what I hope that the listeners are able to see, just the dedication, the drive, and kind of the big picture mindset that you have as an Olympic athlete, but then just you going out throughout your life. And so I'm so grateful that you're able to sit down to chat today about your career and just in the values that you've learned throughout your running career and moving forward too. So thanks so much for talking with me today, Rory.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's always fun to reconnect with people at the Y.
That was fantastic. Rory is an amazing athlete, but an all-around inspiring person. We wish him all the best in Paris. The men's marathon will feature Rory as well as his former teammates Connor Mance and Clayton Young. It is slated for Saturday, August 10th, with coverage on the NBC family of networks. Cougar Gold is partnered with BYU Athletics and produced by Cleon Wall, Ethan Horn, and Jonas Guffey. Episodes are available on BYUradio.org, the BYU Radio app, and wherever you can find podcasts.